would like to start with my favorite verse from the Bible, and it's from Philippians. And I chose the King James Version because that is the way I learned it. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, I'm an Army brat. I was born during World War II, January the 1st, to be exact, 1944. My Christian journey, I don't think is as exciting as many others, because I was brought up a Christian. It was just what we did. Sunday school, church, MYF, yes, I started out a Methodist. I was surrounded by friends with the same values that I had. They were Methodists, they were Baptists, they were Presbyterians, they were Catholics, they were Episcopalians. But especially during the years that I was in junior high and high school, everyone I knew spent Sunday morning in church. Then you went to Sunday lunch and finding something to do in the afternoon. Very different from today. How many of you remember Blue Laws? That was the way I grew up. All the stores were closed on Sunday. There was no shopping on Sundays. Movie theaters and restaurants were open, and during the summertime, the swimming pools, of course. But the 50s and 60s were a much different and more gentle time than we live in today. So, off to Auburn to college. And I'll have to admit, I lost my every Sunday church routine during those years, but not my beliefs. I always knew the angels were looking after me. Tom and I met my senior year at Auburn and were married the following September in the Methodist Church in West Point, Mississippi, which is where my family was from. He had two more years in veterinary school, so Auburn was our first home. Tom was a lifelong Baptist. So together, we decided to join the Episcopal Church during our first 6 months of marriage. So that would have been in 1966. So we've really been here a long time. Once the commitment was made, we once again became regular attenders. Auburn. Then we went to Oklahoma for him to intern. It was our first experience with true high church. It was a more of a Catholic type ceremony. Your head was covered, you genuflected. Every time you left or entered the pew. So that was an interesting period. It was also interesting that our best friends in Oklahoma were the priest and his wife. After he finished his internship, we came back to the South. We ended up in Anniston, Alabama at Grace Episcopal Church. Again, another connection. Lee Schaefer, who was with us for a number of years, when she left us, she went to Grace Episcopal Church in Anniston, Alabama. But then in the early 70s, we moved back to Tallahassee, which is Tom's home. But we came to St. John's, not the First Baptist Church. I believe Christianity is based on the way you live your life, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Having moved a lot in my early years as an Army brat, I adopted the belief that you have to jump in with both feet. You need to serve your community, make friends, and let people know that you're happy to be here. You need to become a part of your new hometown. It seems like forever ago that we were teaching Sunday school, cooking supper for EYC, and taking them to Six Flags over Georgia. Because, like Father Lonnie, I love roller coasters. There was also the Altar Guild that I joined when Father Lee Graham was still here. And he had a real desire to preserve the symbolism in the Episcopal Church. And that's how the Needlepoint Project was started. Jesse Conrad, who many of you remember, Mary Doug Buchanan, and I were his go-tos. The vision for the kneelers that are today in our church is to tell the important stories of the Bible and preserve the old symbolism. We started at the back of the church with creation, and we spent that first year deciding what stories to include under Lee Graham's guidance and what vehicle to use. You never thought of a vehicle when you think of needlepoint, but if you notice, our kneelers all have the same shape, the quadrifoil, because the quadrifoil is so predominant in our church, and the mechanism is the vehicle. One of the interesting things about doing the kneelers is, did you know that all of our kneelers are handmade, so every one of them are slightly a different size? So that was also interesting. Even the crosses are in historical order of the crosses. And as you walk down the aisles, you know, these two are the same, the next two are the same, the next two are the same. But after we had spent all of this time and all of this research, Lee moved to Memphis and Jesse moved to heaven. So we had a hiatus on the project. But after a few years, it was once again revived. Virginia Perkins, Sally Kramer, and Linda Knox, and several others picked up the mantle. I continued to draw, Linda painted, and Mary Doug stayed the course. I think this time that I spent with Father Graham in the early stages of this project were probably my first real Bible study because he had such a passion for the stories of the Bible. And it was the first time that I had to sit down and read them all. To study, to decide how to visually interpret them. Most of my professional life was spent in the classroom. I believe teaching, helping children to grow up to be responsible adults is a true Christian calling. If you can guide a child and teach them to live by the golden rule, then I think you've done what Christ wants you to do in your life. And I found teaching very, very satisfying. Matthew 5:48 is often interpreted as live out your God-created identity. And it took me a while, but I think teaching was what I was intended to do. In 1988, I founded a county-wide art show and scholarship program in conjunction with Lemoyne. That was 34 years ago, and it still goes on today. The show continues to inspire students to pursue their God-given talents. Service to the community and the church is the stalwart of my personal beliefs. Try to be a good person, help where you can. After retirement and the death of my mother, I began my EFM journey, which was lasted 10 years. I mentored 6 years, but it is a 4-year program, so I spent 10 years with EFM. It's a very interesting program. Through this study of the Bible, and of how to live a Christian life. What does the Bible really tell us that's going to help us to live the type of life Christ wants us to? The main thing that I learned was to stop and reflect and to listen. I think listening to others is one of the biggest gifts that we can give someone. We learn to listen to what the Bible says. We learn to listen to what Christian tradition says. But we also learn to listen to one another. I often tell the story of an old friend who had led a rather risque life, and he found God in his late 30s and became a veterinary missionary. We were visiting, and Bobby was visiting with Tom and I, and I will never forget, he looked at Tom and he said, "I have to ask y'all, have you found the Lord?" And when Tom looked at him and said, "Bobby, I never lost him," I thought, that's what your true Christian belief is about. Thus, the true story of our Christian journey, for it has truly been ours because we have supported each other all the way through. So here I am, your senior warden. So blessed to be back on the vestry at this exciting time in the life of our church. We've been through the good, we've been through the bad and the ugly, and now we have a new shining light. So thanks be to God. And as I told my EFM classes, and I think it's very important to remember, as you read the Bible, not once does the Bible say worry about it, stress over it, or figure it out. But over and over, it clearly says, trust God. Thank you.